Welcome, Chamber Faithful. I'm Jeremy Field, your host.
And I'm Tori Thomas.
You're also awesome host. And welcome to the Idaho Cutthroat Business Podcast. We have a great corkboard for you today.
We have a lot going on this week. So
yes, we do.
Buckle up. So this corkboard's for May 16th through May 20th. So our first event starts Tuesday, May 17th. It'll be at 12 p.m. And that's our Boise State of the University Address with Dr. Trump. Wednesday, May 18th at 4 p.m., we have the Boise Mayor's State of the City Address. And at 5 p.m. that same evening, we have a BYP event called Be Schooled, Suns Out, Funds Out. This is a great way to get active in the Treasure Valley, get to know what the summer events are going on, and just, you know, network with people that want to have fun when the sun's out. Thursday, May 19th. Starting at 8 a.m. that morning, we have a transportation committee with the CCDC. They're going to discuss their 11th Street project that will begin on May 23rd. So that's at May 19th at 8 a.m. That afternoon at 2 p.m., we have a chamber check-in with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation. At 5 p.m., Business After Hours will be hosted by Idaho Press and Boise Weekly. Also at 5 p.m. that day, we have another BYP event called BYP 101. It'll be an after-work meeting, and it'll be hosted at Green Acres Food Truck Park. It's a really great opportunity to, if you're not a part of BYP, to learn a little bit more about BYP's mission and see if it's an organization that you want to be a part of. Right after that, at 6 p.m., they're doing a Be Connected. So if you are new to BYP, come to the 101 and then stay for the Be Connected. You'll get to meet a lot of people that already are involved with BYP. And it's if you also haven't been out to Green Acres, that's another great reason to go to those events.
Green Acres is the one just on the Greenbelt, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the cornhole toss. Yep. And all that. I love that place.
I know. Yeah, giant picnic tables. Yeah. And food and a bar and coffee. What more could you ask for?
Yeah.
Then Friday, May 20th, we have a chamber check-in with Camp Rainbow Gold at 2 p.m. So that is the week at the chamber. All of those events are on our website. But if you have any questions, feel free to reach out, to me or Jeremy.
Well, that's always, as always, we have a lot going on with the chamber. But today our guest was Kevin Bailey. He's the president and CEO of the Idaho Nonprofit Center. And I think you're really going to enjoy the conversation that we have with Kevin. He has got a fun background. This guy is just an adventurer, and it's really wonderful that he's here in Boise heading up the Idaho Nonprofit Center. I used to live in Pocatello. When he was heading up United Way there, I heard nothing but good things. We just barely missed each other. I'd just gotten a new job opportunity and left Pocatello, but I was on that board, and I just heard from so many people how great he was, and it was a wonderful steal for Idaho Nonprofit Center to take him away from Pocatello. But I can tell you, he was really missed there. So but with that, we should just talk to this great guy. I shouldn't just talk him up. Here is Kevin Bailey. Kevin Bailey, welcome to the Idaho Cutthroat Business Podcast. How are you doing today?
Great. How are you doing?
Doing really well. We are really kind of, we know we've caught you just on the very tail end of a big event, but and we're going to talk about a couple different things about the Idaho Nonprofit Center, which you are the CEO and president of. I got your title right, correct, Kevin?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Yeah. But before we do that, we want to get to know you a little bit. So would you mind giving us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, went to school, where you met that beautiful wife of yours?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll try to give you the 2-minute version of this, but okay. I grew up outside the Minneapolis, Minnesota area, a suburb of Minneapolis called Bloomington, best known as the home of the Mall of America.
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
Oh, awesome. My handprint is somewhere out in the original concrete when I was 5 or 6 years old. We helped open that building. But I went away out of state for college at the University of Notre Dame and in South Bend, Indiana, and then kind of immediately found myself in to the nonprofit landscape. I actually, right after college, lived and worked for about 2 years in Uganda. It was what I call like my DIY Peace Corps assignment. It wasn't officially a Peace Corps program, but I had met some alumni at Notre Dame who were, you know, basically involved in they just incorporated as a nonprofit. They were trying to install this communications equipment and solar powered computer stuff, long range Wi-Fi stuff to put into refugee camps in the country. And there was no electrical grid, you know, all this kind of technical challenge. I wasn't by any means a trained IT person, but I had been to the country a number of times before throughout my undergrad years and kind of naively volunteered to take on a role with them to help them start the organization. And I asked them if they would hire me, and they said they had absolutely no funds to do it because they had just spent $250,000 on IT equipment. But they said I could go out and raise my own salary. So I did. I just kind of grabbed my parents' Christmas card network list of addresses. This was before like the Kickstarter stuff was even available. It would have been a lot easier with that. But I just wrote kind of a one-page letter appeal to 200 plus folks. And before I knew it, I think $40,000 or so had come back in checks. And that sustained, you know, some airfare, health insurance, basic living expenses, all that good stuff for 2 years while I helped start that organization over in Uganda. So that was kind of my, it kind of set the tone for the rest of my career because I really enjoyed the building of an organization, especially, you know, the more ground up, the better, in my opinion. It was just so fun to jump into something that had so much potential and just try to craft it and build it. So did that. I actually came back to the U.S. and entered a master's of education program, was a teacher for a couple of years in an under-resourced school, met my wife in that program, and then we decided we still had the international bug, so we went and taught in Chile in South America.
Where in Chile?
Santiago, Chile.
Okay, yeah. So you were in the capital.
Yep, in the capital city. So,
in which part of town? I actually lived in Santiago, Chile for a while. We're going to have to talk about this, Kevin.
Las Condes, it was called.
Las Condes? Wasn't that kind of a rough part of town?
No, that was actually a pretty nice part of town. But we had a fairly decent commute to a rougher part of town where our school was. But
you lived in Las Condes, but you were, where was the rougher part of town?
Yeah, you know, I can't even remember the suburb name of where school was. I think it was Algarrobal or something like that. Okay. Probably butchering the pronunciation. But so we were English teachers.
And that's where you guys met.
So we didn't meet in Chile. We met in grad school while we were teachers in the U.S. Yeah. But we got married shortly after that program and decided we still had the international bug before we had any kids and went to Chile and taught there for a school year, and then we're actually expecting our first child, who's now in first grade, and moved back to my wife's hometown, which is Omaha, Nebraska. We were there for 5 years, I think. I was working in various nonprofits there, and then we always wanted to move west and loved kind of the outdoor lifestyle, and the United Way of Southeastern Idaho in Pocatello had the CEO job opening, and I just applied for it on a whim, got an interview, one thing led to the next, and took the job. I think it was late 2018 when I accepted it. And then that led to, we were a member at the United Way over in Pocatello of the Idaho Nonprofit Center and got to know the previous CEO here, Amy Little, who's now the CEO at Janus. Got to know her really well, just respected what they were doing, you know, a ton, loved the value that they were providing the sector. And when she moved on last year, the job opened up and they reached out. They had a interim CEO who was leading the search, and she asked if I was interested, and I said, sure, let's take a look, and one thing led to the next again, and here I am. So it's been a really, really great transition, great organization to be a part of. It's been fun to land in Boise, which we kind of always thought we'd end up here after landing in Pocatello, but it's been great.
Well, that's really cool, Kevin. That's quite a story. I love that, and that's a really fun, adventurous way to meet your wife and doing some pretty novel stuff.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's a good way to find a good one. You know, I hadn't thought about that before.
Yeah. I mean, we're both, now I guess both teachers by training. She doesn't teach anymore, and nor do I, but three young boys, so 6, 4, and 1, and try to use our teacher skills to some success at home, depending on the day.
That's great.
So, yeah.
Well, tell us more about the Idaho Nonprofit Center and what its mission is.
Yeah, so we are really just the state association and hub for nonprofit success in our state. We have over 800 nonprofit members now. So our mission is to educate, advocate, and collaborate for stronger nonprofits. So what that looks like, practically speaking, is everything from training on how to have an effective board. We do fundraising training. We do nonprofit financial management. This year, we're launching an executive leadership program retreat, and that'll be a core part of what we continue to do moving forward. Just, you know, continuing to provide resources for nonprofit executives, make sure that they have everything they need to succeed. And then, of course, Idaho Gives. We run Idaho Gives. We have an advocacy and legislative policy program. We track all the legislation, and similar to how a chamber would in terms of how it affects nonprofits, and advocate, take stances on a few bills here and there, and really just let our members know what's happening in the legislative world. And so we're up to a lot. We do what I think it's pretty amazing what we can do with seven staff, and just been a really great 9 months to jump into this organization and kind of have a full, now almost a full year cycle to really understand everything that we do, which is fantastic.
That's great. No, I received that newsletter. I think you guys do a really great job putting together the policy positions that you take and why. So yeah, you guys can keep that up. I enjoy
reading those. Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a lot of crossover with the business community on a lot of those. Obviously, anything workforce related, you know, it's not super fun to read about the unemployment insurance tax rate stabilization bills, but somebody's got to do it. So we might as well do it and make sure our members know, you know, that there's important stuff happening in the state house, even if it's not super exciting stuff all the time, but it does make a difference in nonprofit organizations' bottom line and sort of how they're able to continue to operate successfully in our state environment, which is central to what we really need to be doing.
No, 100%. In fact, you saying that kind of leads me to the next question I have for you, and that was, you know, what's the impact that nonprofits have on Idaho's economy?
Yeah, so we start with just the simple story of, you know, you can't really walk more than a block in any community in the state without seeing the impact of a nonprofit. So, you know, when I lived in Pocatello, I would walk down Main Street and Center Street, the heart of downtown. And of course, there our United Way building was in our office. But, you know, you see the Downtown Business Association, you see the arts museums, the Meals on Wheels, the, you know, you name it, the shelter. Whatever it is that really strengthens the community is often found in nonprofits. And so I think nonprofits are really crucial to the quality of life in our local communities. In Ada County alone, we have over 800 financially active nonprofits. So when you think about just the number of services, the number of cultural opportunities, you know, that they provide our community, it's really what makes it a great community to live in. And I think, you know, the success of nonprofits is really tied to the success of communities and vice versa. So we need to really value nonprofits. We really need to understand the impact that they have. And like I said, you really can't go more than a block without seeing that impact. Secondly, I would say, you know, we pay close attention in one of our research reports that we do every couple of years with the University of Idaho to the economic impact of nonprofits. And just their impact economically on the state of Idaho. You know, in 2020, which was the last report that we did, and we have one that will be updated later this year in 2022. In 2020, nonprofits were responsible for over $7 billion in revenue. They were the sixth largest sector, private employment sector, you know, more than construction, more than a lot of other kind of big name sectors that you would think would be larger than nonprofits, but nonprofits, you know, obviously include healthcare and the arts and both large and small organizations, but they're really employers of actual family sustaining jobs. And that's, you know, another reason why it's so important that nonprofits are financially healthy, are successful, are supported in our community, because they're really important for employing Idahoans and making that contribution to the state.
No, that's great. I wasn't even aware of that kind of the report that's done. So that's in partnership with the U of I and Idaho Nonprofit Center.
That's right. Yep. So we actually published that report. The last version of it's on our website at idahonprofits.org. under the policy and advocacy tab, if you click on that. But we'll have a big press release and some rollout when the new report's out, because I think it'll be interesting to kind of compare 2020 pre-pandemic data to, you know, what we hope is post-pandemic data coming out of this. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, whenever you have those significant economic impacts, you always want to look and see. Being able to look back in the rearview mirror and say that was the crater that happened, yep. And you know, I don't know how you ever prepare for that stuff. Honestly, when we're talking about those kind of events, like the recession in 2008, but there's always lessons to be learned, and hopefully we can put those into our systems and structures, yeah. And try to prepare for those in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think nonprofits were wildly successful in pivoting and adapting through the pandemic. And, you know, they still need the same levels of support from individual donors and from corporate contributions and all of that. So we just don't want folks to think as we come out of the pandemic that suddenly things are, you know, without need or without support. But it's just kind of amazing to see how nonprofits shifted and navigated and really thrived.
Yeah, and it also kind of speaks to the power of, you know, data and how important that is for nonprofits when they're looking at their effectiveness. I know that's something that you're probably very familiar with, especially from what I heard about what you did in Pocatello with United Way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really amazing what the sector, you know, how they're able to achieve success in various ways. And, you know, I think we always say too, there's no single blueprint for a nonprofit. If you've seen one nonprofit, you've seen one nonprofit. And so that's I think does make some challenges for an organization like us who has 800 members and 800 organizations that have vastly different needs at times. And like I said, we've really tried to focus in on a core curriculum around board development, nonprofit finance, nonprofit fundraising, and then nonprofit executive leadership development. Really feeling like those four core areas, if you can get those right as an organization, you can really thrive. And I would say especially around that sort of board development and executive leadership development. I mean, we know just the impact that strong leaders have. And when partnered with a really strong, effective board, it makes a world of difference.
That's great. No, it is. It's those boards, the groups that go out there and get those people who are really dynamic and part of their communities and can offer a lot of different insights from, you know, just their different professional backgrounds. That's a huge asset for every organization, every nonprofit. So I think that's a really great point to make.
Yeah, absolutely.
So last week you had... because we'll be sharing this in this coming Monday, so it'll be just recently you had your Idaho Gives event. Can you share the goal of what Idaho Gives is? What is it trying to accomplish, and what does that mean for Idaho?
Yeah, so it was started 10 years ago. 2013 was the first Idaho Gives, and it was really, you know, I think at that time I wasn't in this position at that time, but the way my team and others describe it to me, it was really started primarily as a way to raise awareness for nonprofits and then get nonprofits on an online platform to raise funds. And of course, this was in 2013, you know, this sort of idea of online fundraising was more new than it is now. So the idea that we kind of take for granted right now that online fundraising is just part of the normal business operations of most nonprofits at this point. But the event has kind of evolved into a celebration of nonprofits, and then, you know, probably just as importantly, as the state's largest multi-day fundraiser for the whole sector across the state. So it's been fun to kind of see the numbers throughout the years. We've kind of, the last 3 years, we've been pretty much at the same level. We're just slightly down this year in donations, but I think we're just under $3.7 million raised as the campaign ended, 13,460 donors, and those $3.7 million went to 637 nonprofits across the state. So that's been pretty consistent over the last 3 years, those numbers, and I would anticipate that they might continue to grow as our population grows in the state as well. But just really, it's a fun celebration of nonprofits. We did it in 4 days this year. The year before 2021, we did it in, I think it was 7 or 8 days. And then the first year of the pandemic was a 2-week giving event. So we've essentially raised the same amount of money in 4 days. It's a little bit easier on the fundraisers out there to do this in 3 or 4 days versus a 2-week thing, which can get kind of exhausting. But so we think we found that sweet spot. The outcomes are just as good as they were before doing this in 4 days. And Idahoans really stepped up again and are super generous, which is awesome.
That's wonderful. So, I mean, if we're looking at the Idaho Nonprofit Center and people want to donate to the cause of strengthening all the nonprofits in Idaho, who's the best person for them to contact?
Yeah, in terms of our organization, yeah. Is that the question? Yeah, so I'm glad you asked that. That's a really important question. So, of course, we're happy to have folks reach out to us. We do raise money like any nonprofit does to support our programs. Which are heavily subsidized through donations so that, you know, our member organizations from smaller nonprofits especially can afford to go to our executive leadership trainings, our board development, fundraising trainings, et cetera. But yeah, reaching out directly to us, whether it's my email, and I'm happy to share that, or I don't know if you share that in the show notes or on the link, but kbailey@idahononprofits.org. This is a great place to start. We also accept donations through our website, right at idahononprofits.org. We don't actually raise money on Idaho Gives for ourselves. We just host the program. So I'm in the habit of saying idahogives.org, but our website is idahononprofits.org, where you can donate to our organization. But we'd obviously encourage folks to look at other nonprofits as well. And during Idaho Gives Week at idahogives.org, and that's a great option as well. But, you know, we get a lot of questions, everything from, we've gotten over the years questions around, you know, help me connect with a nonprofit as a donor. How do I evaluate nonprofits? How do I find certain board member information, you know, all of these things. So we're happy to be a resource too for folks that reach out and have questions. Maybe they're new to the sector, looking for opportunities, looking for ways to give back. We're happy to connect folks. That's a big part of what we do too, is just be that hub of connection to the 800 plus members we have.
Yeah, you guys do such a great job with that. I've had the opportunity of being a part of Idaho Gives in small ways of just all the different jobs I've had around the community. And it's always so much fun to see every year something change a little bit, or even just how easy it is to get connected. I think a lot of people's fear of donating sometimes, it's like, oh, I don't know who to give to. I don't know anything about it. And so Idaho Gives opens that door of saying, there's no hardship in this. Just go on our website, check them all out, or go to any event and you can always be able to see a nonprofit that might be in need or something that, you know, has a mission that connects to that specific donor.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's a great point about the site. And that's one of the value adds, I think, of doing this kind of giving event is, you know, you can search during the campaign, you can search by cause area if you're really into animals or the environment or Meals on Wheels, senior programs, whatever it is, you know, you can find the organizations that are listed under that cause area and do a little research on each of them as well, which is a great added benefit for folks who are looking to try new organizations.
No, I love that. One of the things I think about when I hear people wanting to get involved in a cause, you know, something that's impacted their lives, that's near and dear to their hearts, you know, sometimes the best thing you can do is, instead of reinventing the wheel, is just finding those organizations that are already doing it. And so that's wonderful that the Idaho Nonprofit Center can be a resource for that.
Yeah, that's a great point too. And, you know, we get a lot of calls about starting new nonprofits, and we always encourage folks to just do a little research first and make sure that they're, you know, filling a new need that's not already being delivered by another organization, or find ways to partner, find ways to collaborate. I mean, our sector really is at its best when organizations, both established and startup, are collaborating strongly. There's some amazing examples of startup nonprofits in the Treasure Valley over the last handful of years. And then there's some amazing examples of some institutions that have been around for decades and decades, like, you know, your Y or your United Way or your Idaho Food Bank. And when those groups start to collaborate together, it's a really powerful multiplier effect.
Yeah, I think, Kevin, you and I already had this conversation pretty recently about collaboration and how needed it is, because, you know, you're only helping more people by collaborating and making sure we, you know, like you said, multiply that. And but yeah, I mean, there is also needs that we might not be aware of, that people come in and say, this needs to change and I want to be the person that creates that opportunity. Or you do see organizations that say, yeah, let's collaborate and totally change up, you know, like keep our mission, but add this opportunity. And so it's really cool to see that and grow. And I think the nonprofit sector in Boise is just in a really amazing industry, and it's so fun to see it grow and see so many people want to be a part of it.
Yeah, it is I think it's in a really healthy spot too, and I think there is a spirit of sort of collective impact, collaboration, you know, whatever you want to call it. And it's great too. I think the business community is fantastic at getting involved, supporting, you know, whether it's an event or grants or corporate sponsorships. And then, you know, the Boise Metro Chamber too, with the nonprofit group that you guys host. I mean, that's something we always look forward to every month in terms of just renewing and building those new relationships, learning a few things along the way too, in terms of content that you deliver. So it's just, there's a really nice ecosystem here. And I think that's always a good sign too. If there's a good ecosystem of these sort of grassroots networks, you know, the sector's thriving.
Well, you all make it easy, because everyone that's in the nonprofit sector are the best people. So that's always my
favorite really
group.
Fun committee. It's a really fun committee.
Group to be a part of and be around everybody, because everyone's just so kind. And you're right, it's kind of a great opportunity to recharge. And just like, if you're not networking, you're connecting. And if you're not connecting, you're, you know, sharing your mission and you're doing all the things. And so it's like a win-win situation for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Kevin, we're really just so happy for the success of the Idaho Gives campaign, and that we have the Idaho Nonprofit Center to help be a resource for all of our wonderful nonprofits. And thank you so much for your time today. But before we let you off the hook and let you go completely, we want to ask a question that we asked everybody. Mm-hmm. What's one of your favorite, or it doesn't have to be one, one of your favorite local small businesses you'd like to give a shout out to?
Yeah. So let's see. I'm a big fan of all of the coffee shops. So I would give a shout out most recently to Cafeina, who is one of our sponsors for Idaho Gives. We sort of jokingly refer to them as the official coffee sponsor of Idaho Gives, you know, fueling, keeping us awake for 4 days.
That's
but
great.
Love them. I love a good bookstore. So I was just walking by Rediscovered Books this morning when I was downtown for a meeting, and I didn't stop in this time, but I usually do, and it usually ends up with a smaller wallet because I can't help myself from making a few books.
That place is great.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so those two, coffee and books, it doesn't get much better than that.
Well, that's awesome, Kevin. Thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks, kid.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Bye.
Alrighty, folks. Hopefully you enjoyed that conversation we had with Kevin. What did you think, Jeremy?
Well, you know, it's fun to finally meet Kevin, because I just heard about him from a long time, but here working with the chamber, I've finally been able to meet him in person, and he's just a really sharp guy, and I think he's just he's one of those people that we're so glad where he is, and that you're always worried he's going to be stolen somewhere else. But really glad he's at the Idaho Nonprofit Center.
Yeah, I think he's done a lot of great work already, and it's fun to see what else he's got. He's clearly an innovator, and clearly excited to just get into the community and try to make sure nonprofits are successful.
Yeah. I am really happy that we got to be there they kind of cut a ribbon on the last day, the last push of funding for the Idaho Gives campaign. We went to Guru Donuts and met all those great people from, you know, the lead sponsor, I think, was Idaho Central Credit Union this year. We got to see I'm going to mess up the name, the coffee place that he shouted out.
Cafeina.
There's just a lot of really fun people there. A lot of people believe in service in this community. It's part of what makes Idaho so great is that people serve one another, and you can't help but feel a lot of positive vibes when you hang out with a group like that.
Yep.
So yeah,
it's our the best.
Well, hey, thanks so much for listening today. We hope you learned a little bit more about the Idaho Nonprofit Center, Idaho Gives. You figured out a great resource for if you're looking for a place to serve personally, or you just want to help with some much needed funding. Give Kevin a call at the Idaho Nonprofit Center, and they can get you in the right place.
Yep.
Yeah. Any other thoughts, Tori?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, great conversation.
Well, then we'll close this one out, and we'll see you next time.
Have a great week.